We're turning today to Exodus 20. We're in this series, Set Free to Live Free, looking at the Ten Commandments. And today we are looking at the Eighth Command. The Eighth Command. And here again is a wonderfully short reading. So we're going to read it twice. First time I'm going to read it, and then you can read it with me. Okay, here we go. The Eighth Commandment is this: you shall not steal. Here we go, all together. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. You know, in Manchester this past week, many young lives and other lives were stolen. The destruction, the wickedness, the terror of that moment has moved me, as I'm sure it has you, many times. I remember on that first morning waking up on Tuesday and listening to the radio of parents still trying to find their children who they couldn't get in touch with, and people pleading on the radio, if get in touch with your parents if you live in Manchester, you know. And I'm there as a parent thinking, oh God, please have mercy. I remember reading in the newspaper a few days later, and again, just welling up with tears, of these grandparents that come to pick up their kids, and they'd been just at the scene, and they'd come around. This girl wasn't their own child or grandchild, but they'd just been injured and traumatized, and they knew that their grandkids were safe in another part of the building, and so they just ministered to this child. Well, they tried to get in touch with her parents, and they couldn't, and they couldn't. And the parents were trying to figure out what happened, and then eventually there was a reunion. And I thought, man, God of mercy. You know, we look and we think, don't we? We get moved by the losses. We get moved by the wickedness. You know, we get moved by the acts of kindness in the midst of it, like little lights and stars in a dark world. And in the midst of it, even this week, you know, we start thinking, well, who's to blame? Who's to blame? I mean, we look at the mess in North Africa and Libya, and we look at the, you know, Islamic ideology and the lies that are sown in so many places, and we then start looking at our own communities and how poorly we do at really loving and reaching out and integrating. We start pointing fingers at the government and those who maybe could have done better at different programs, and who's to blame? You know, the Bible is very clear that there is someone we can blame. Often it doesn't encourage us to go down the whole blame route, except to really probe in our own hearts what's our responsibility. But the Bible does say there's someone we can blame. The Bible does say there is a thief, an enemy. Mike referred to this verse right at the start, and Jesus in John 10 says this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the one who is so different from the thief. The thief, the enemy, takes. And as he takes, he destroys and he kills. There is a thief. There is an enemy. And all through the Ten Commandments, we see that we have this amazing call in the Ten Commandments to be as God calls us to be, to do not steal, to be like that, because God is calling us to be like He is. We are to be like He is because He is who He is, and He is not the thief. He is not the one who steals. That is the enemy. And He's saying, don't be like that. Don't align yourselves with the enemy. Be like God. Been thinking, if we can just have that bit up there again, Ben, and we're going to explore some of this morning. Jesus is so different, isn't He? You know, the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep that they might live. You know, these suicide bombers, they lay down their lives to kill others. We serve a Savior. We come to one this morning, Jesus Christ, who lays down his life that others everywhere, all different nationalities and backgrounds in their brokenness, might live. So church, it really matters how we live, because we're meant to be bearers of this good news. That we have a shepherd like that. So don't steal. Because stealing leads to destruction. Stealing leads to destruction. That's what I want to talk about right at the start. I imagine many of us here have had someone steal something from us. It's not a pleasant experience. It can be a small thing or a big thing. I remember one time when I was a student, getting on my bicycle and heading to the cinema, coming out of the cinema thinking, right, it's a bit late, but we'll be home soon, and go to get my bike, and it just wasn't there. Place where I left it. No bike. It had gone. And it's like, it's gutting. It's gutting because you've got to walk home. It's gutting because you've got... It just feels rubbish, doesn't it, when something gets stolen from you? It's gutting because, you know, you're a student and stuff costs money. And it's like, oh, no, got to fork out for another bike. And that's only a bike. You know, many of us have had things taken from us, and it's rubbish. So why do people steal? Well, why do people steal? When it actually harms others, and as we're going to see, it actually damages themselves as well. Well, why do people steal? Well, we live in a world, don't we, where many actually sort of fearful of how they're going to make ends meet. Or maybe they've even made ends meet, but they're fearful that they won't be able to make ends meet in the future. And so they become kind of gripped by a fear that drives them to take. We live in a very fearful world. But you know, also, some people, it's not so much fear, it's greed. They maybe feel like they haven't got enough, they just want more. You see, greed also, it ensnares us. It also traps our hearts so that we never have enough. It constantly, greed just is, it never is satisfied. Just wants more and more and more. So there are some very rich robbers and thieves in our world. I don't know, maybe you actually have a picture in your mind of what a thief looks like. You know, maybe you have a picture of, I don't know, someone maybe in a mask or, you know, very, very poor trying to snatch something from you. Or, you know, in Kenya, we used to, where I grew up, we get a lot of street kids and, you know, people have, you know, oh, there's a thief. You know, but actually, you know who are some of the biggest thieves in Kenya? Corrupt government officials. You know, I heard someone say this week, it's not... the Bible says it's by your fruit you shall know them, not by their suits. We can so often look on the outside, can't we? You know, so, you know, we see someone in a suit and we think, oh, they're less likely to be a thief. But do you remember this guy, Nick Leeson? I think it was $1.4 billion from Barings Bank that he took. It bust the bank. Whatever picture you have in your mind of a thief, I think probably the place we least think is when we think of this fact, do not steal. We don't think about ourselves. You know, we might have this picture or that picture, or yes, there's them or them, but we don't think about ourselves. But hang on a moment. You know, it's all too easy, isn't it? I even had a little thing this week. I knew I was kind of preparing this talk, and it was in a staff prayer time, and we all bowed our heads, and someone said something, or I thought of something, I thought, I must write that down. And so we're there, and I see, I don't have a pen. Oh, but the person next to me has a pen, and I think, well, they're not using it, I need it, so I'll take it. So I took the pen, and completely forgot that I'd taken the person's pen next to me. They get to the end of the time, and they want to write something down, they're like, who stole my pen? That was the words they used. Suddenly, what I just thought was borrowing that was going to last forever, I can think, okay, it's only a pen. But I think, you know, we can do that, can't we, in work so often. Are you stealing from work? I'll just take this pen. I'll just take that bit of this bit of that. I'll just steal a bit of time. I mean, after all, if they're the company, this anonymous kind of thing. So, you know, I'll just check social media whenever I've got free time. No one's watching. I'll just, when the boss is gone, I'll cut off early. Are you stealing from work? Time or stuff? Fiddling your expenses? You know, when I was working in Ricardo, it was a good company, it was an engineering consultancy. You know, I just was, God, I want to make sure I go above and beyond. I don't want to be taking anything that's not mine. Try to be really diligent. As I've come into a church setting, to work in a church setting, even more, I want to be going above and beyond. I don't want to be in any way doing anything that would not be right. Let's guard our hearts. Or what about stealing from the government? Oh, that's an easy one. You know, the government, they rob me. They take my taxes. And yet, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God's what is God's. Jesus says to people in his own day, under oppression, pay your taxes. And so, folks, are you stealing from the government? Because actually, if you're stealing from the government, you're really stealing from others. You know, the cuts in the NHS or in the police. Who knows what actual destruction that's causing? Loss of life even, perhaps. And you just thought, well, I was trying to not have to pay my VAT. And yet, work it out. Oh, I'll just try and do my income tax in a slightly different way. Are you stealing from the government? You see, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The end of our stealing leads to destruction somewhere on the line. I've been really touched as we've been thinking and even watching again about the World Week. And, you know, any one of those pictures, there are stories there of lives that are, the poorest of the poor are desperately poor. There's an immense number of people. I grew up in Africa that are still just die from starvation. Heard a stat yesterday at the big church day out where we just went as a family, and you know, 1 in 5 in parts of Africa, 1 in 5 children before the age of 5 die from hunger. You know, and issues of child labor are just massive in our world, that we kind of think, well, I want my clothes or my things a bit cheap, so we end up driving down prices because we want to pay less, and the kids end up working factories, which does mean it's cheaper for us, so our saving is their suffering. Suffering that often leads to an early death. I was looking at this picture. I was thinking, well, you know, never buy anything from somewhere like that. I thought, oh, it's probably going to be. I thought, let's just, I was saying to Ben, let's just see where that picture's taken from. I think it was from some years ago, but this will show you how these things are so relevant. It's a Nike factory. Now, I know that probably came out of Nike then, saying, whoa, we've got to be more careful on this. But if you're not careful, if you don't really proactively think, I'm going to avoid exploiting children. If you just say, we're just going to go for the cheapest we can get, it will end up like this. That's why now people put on the clothing, yes, ethically sourced. That's why when you and I shop, if we're just looking for bargains, it's going to be stuff like this. If we're willing to say, no, we're not going to just steal from the global poor so that we can be a bit more comfortable at the end of the month. We're going to actually try and do things right. It costs. Are you stealing from the poorest of the poor? Am I? You know, there's one more place, and this is not an exhaustive list, where the Bible speaks about us stealing. And really, if there's anyone we really should avoid stealing from, this is up there. God speaks in Malachi, and this is what he says. He says this to the people. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, God says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you were robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. The only place in the Bible where God encourages us to test him. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I was really challenged on this passage 10 years ago when a man called John James came. He was going to be coming to speak just before our World Gift Day of 10 years ago. And actually he got ill, so he couldn't come and bring the word that God had put on his heart. And I shared this last week that he felt so compelled that he sent the message, even though he couldn't come, he sent his message that God had put on his heart. It was kind of like a prophetic message. In it, he said that he believed God was going to use the disciples that constitute Holland Road Baptist Church to be involved in a move of God to bring in phenomenal blessing to our city and beyond. And he said there were three things from Malachi he felt were warnings we need to heed. We needed to realize God's love. I spoke about that last week. To return to God's standards and to restore what we had stolen from God. I encourage you, if you haven't read that message, if you get the weekly news email that we send out, I emailed this out to members as well, do look and read it and allow God just to touch your heart again. Because when we hold back what God in his covenant relationship with us has called us to give back to him. He's given everything to us. When we hold that back, we are stealing from God. Are you stealing from God? Again, I have times where I just think, God, you've blessed me so much. I just want to make sure I'm not holding on to anything that you want me to give to you. Here it is, Lord. So easy to do in our materialistic, consumeristic world. So what does Jesus and the New Testament writers talk about time and again? They say, hey, look, don't steal, give. Stealing and giving are so radically different. I was thinking about this. This is the thing, giving leads to life. So here we go. I've got my, this is my second thing I want you to see. Stealing, it leads to destruction, but giving leads to life, amazing life. So here's my 10-pound note. I'm walking along, and Mike, you're going to steal it from me. And this is, it's gone. Mike has got my note. I feel rubbish. He feels like a bit of kind of like trying to hide this and, you know, knows he's done something wrong. Stuff's not going well down inside of Mike. It's not just that it's destruction outside. It's things that are going wrong inside. But I'm feeling rubbish too, and I've lost this 10. Now, let's do the same thing again. Who's got the 10 pounds now? Mike's got it. Okay, so different thing. I go along. I see Mike. I say, hey, Mike, here's 10 pounds.
Thank you.
Welcome. Little gift. Yeah, you can use it for what you like. Pass it on if you want. Who's got the 10 pounds now? It's the same thing. Same thing just happened. Stealing and giving. I feel 2 feet taller. Joy of giving. The Bible says, you know, given, it should be given unto you. Mike, how do you feel? Pretty good. Yeah. Great. Blessing. Same thing. Giving. Giving leads to life. It's an amazing thing. You can have that. You know, we give because God has given to us. You know, God is just such an abundant giver that he's given us things. Even he gives those who don't even believe in him or don't know about him. He just gives to people that we might be able to bless one another. He is such a good God. One of the things that's moved me so much reading stuff about Manchester is just the little signs of kindness. You know, it's always wonderful, isn't it, to hear stories of kindness. You know, do you remember the taxis? Did you hear about the taxis on that night? And they just said in Manchester, look, free taxi, go anywhere. We'll get you to where you need to go. That's great, isn't it? There were little other stories like that. You know, I think, wow. You know, imagine that. There were people who just saw people in need. And they just went around, not just after crises, but they just went around and said, hey, look, are you in a crisis? We'll get you to where you need to go. Wouldn't it be great if we kind of we had people like that all the time? Do you know what, church? That is our calling. Our calling is to be like the taxi drivers all the time, to be those who are saying to people in our community, and look, we're there for you. We're there for you. It's going to cost us, but that's okay because we want to bless you. That's what goes on in our CAP offices that we used to have here, but now down the other end. And we, you know, different missional communities seeking to go out and bless different parts of the community. Our restore ministries, we're wanting through our gift day to say, look, it's okay, it costs us, but we want to bless. We want to give because God has been so generous to us. He's ludicrous in his generosity. I've been reading a book by Justin Welby. It's recently out called Dethroning Mammon, the Archbishop. And in it, he talks about a radical new view of economy. You know, we live in an economy of scarcity, he says. But actually, when you get to know God, you realize you're living in an economy of abundance. See, God is a ludicrously generous giver. He is the Father who gives and gives and gives. So James 1:17 writes this. He says that he's the Father who gives all good gifts that come from above. And not just does he give us the things that help us in our life, he gives us his Son. For God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The ludicrous generosity of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says that, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus. Read this with me. That though he was yet became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. The lavish generosity of God that gives and gives and gives even to the point of giving up his own life. That you and I might have abundant life. I mean, remember John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life. Life in abundance. Abundant life in Jesus Christ, not through getting the perfect holiday or getting the ideal suit or getting the ideal home. That does not give life in abundance. There are plenty of people who could tell you we got this perfect thing that we thought was going to sort out our life and it didn't. No, life in abundance comes through whom? Through Jesus, the one who gives and gives and gives what we most need. Jesus, the one who takes thieves and turns them into ludicrously generous, wonderful people. There's this beautiful sense in the Bible of this call to be transforming society. I love, someone once told me this was their favorite verse. In fact, I read it in a book, someone saying that this was their favorite verse. Not this one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Here we go, this is a bit of an odd favorite verse. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. 10th commandment. 8th commandment, but must work doing something useful with their own hands. So stop stealing, start doing something useful, that they may have something to share with those in need. It's like, why is that your favorite verse? And the guy wrote, he said, because it's a picture of transformation. It's a picture of someone's life who was like this, but now God's met with them, and now they're working hard, and they're actually sharing now, and they're not part of the problem, they're part of the solution. They're joining God in his saving work. You see, when we steal, we align ourselves with the enemy, and that is really serious. But when we give, we align ourselves with God, and that is really life-giving. Really life-giving. So when Jesus is walking into Jericho, and he sees a thief in the tree, desperate to try and see him because he's friendless and stuff's been going on in his heart that he knows is not right. His stealing's been killing him. This tax collector, Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to come with you to your house. And Zacchaeus can't believe it. Someone like Jesus wants to come to his home. And as he welcomes in Jesus into his home, into his life, something happens to Zacchaeus. As he receives the love of God and the kindness of Jesus and the grace of Christ, his heart changes. And he says this, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus, a man who was a thief, and now this generous giver. One of the most powerful pictures of this is film and musical and book, Les Miserables. You probably, seen it or heard it, an amazing musical. I was thinking, just as part of, so I'm just going to show you this little clip, just thinking about time. It's a song. It's a song that Jean Valjean, who's the thief at the beginning, stole a loaf of bread and then stole from a priest who tried to help him all this silver. And yet the priest, when he's dragged before him saying, look what this man stole, he says, no, it's his. And he gives it to him. And then he says, no, you forgot the best. You forgot the candlesticks. Here, take the candlesticks too. It's a picture of the grace that Jesus shows every one of us who's stolen from him. And yet he keeps giving to us, even his son. And Jean Valjean is kind of reeling with his own sin, the conviction of God in his life, but this grace. And he realizes a new start's needed. And here, we're just going to watch this. And maybe, band, could you come up during this and we could just be ready to respond out of this. So let's just watch this. Thanks.
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night? Become a dog on the run? Have I fallen so far? And is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears. Here where I stand at the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they murdered Valjean when they chained me and left me for dead. Just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world. This world that always hated me. Take an eye for an eye. Turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for. This is all I am now. One word from him and I'd be back. Beneath the lash upon the rack. Instead he offers me my freedom. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. He told me that I have a soul. How does he know what spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching and I fall. And the night is closing in. As I stare into the void, to the whirlpool of my sin. I'll escape now from that world. For the world of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is nothing now. Another story must begin.
another story must begin. If you've been stealing, stop stealing. Repent. Let the grace of God, which is the only thing that can really change you, the grace that is in Christ Jesus that gives you a new start. Jean Valjean had a new start and he became this amazingly generous man. Church, Jesus has given everything for us. His grace is enough for all of the mess you've made, all the mess I've made. But his grace changes us. It must change us to be channels of grace to others. And so will you stand with me if you're able? You might just want to hold your hands out in front of you as we just receive God's grace again. Jesus, we're sorry for our sin and we receive your grace. Lord, we repent from where we've been stealing from anyone, from where we've been stealing from you. And Lord, as we receive your grace and forgiveness, as we receive the Lord Jesus, we Lord, pray, fill us with your spirit that we might have a spirit of generosity. Lord, as our hands are open and stretched out in front of us, not just to receive, we also want to give, Lord. All that we are, all that we have, our lives, if necessary, God, we just want to say, here we are. Here's all that we have, God. What do you need? What do others need? So come in your grace. Lead us, fill us. Your grace is enough. And so we worship together.